broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Getaway Friday, Friday, October 20th, 2023, 16 minutes past the hour. No Matt Morgan yet, but we did hear from him, and he'll tell his story when he gets here as to what happened to him this morning. It sounds like he's had a little bit of a harrowing morning, so we'll hear about that when Matt gets here. Certainly thank Pastor Whitaker for coming in today, each and every Friday, and next hour, Pastor Craig will be on, and then at noon, we'll have Matt Morgan, Pastor Craig, and myself, top 10 list, and then Pastor Craig's new show, Study His Word, at 1:15 today, so don't switch that dial. Tonight, 8:15 to 10 here on this station, Matt Morgan, Carrington Nelson, and myself for the big Friday Night Live show. So a big day ahead here at WGH Talk. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I think we had four or five calls in hour number one this morning in regard to the Miranda McGinnis auditor interview yesterday. Does anybody have anything more to say about that? What did you think of the interview? Did it change your opinion of Miranda and the job she's doing now that we've got her side of the story? Do you think she should resign? I don't think she's going to, so she said in the interview yesterday, but certainly the mayor has called on her to resign, as well as two city council members. Give me a buzz here, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Had about 1 inch of rain last night. Ryan called in hour number one and gave us that information. We'll also have a top 10 list coming up here during the noon hour, and we'll also have one tonight, thanks to Bob Welsh in Columbus, Ohio, so we appreciate that. And we've got the big pumpkin pizza coming up on October the 27th. And Mary let us know during the last program that she loves gift cards, especially from Amazon. You know, I don't know. I just have never been a gift card. I will take a homemade item. It's not about money at all. I'll take a homemade item. I'll take anything. The thought that counts. That's why I'm just not into the gift cards. But if I get a gift card, I'm not gracious about it. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Anything to say about Miranda McGinnis, the auditor's appearance on this show yesterday? And again, I want to thank Phyllis Shirk, one of our longtime listeners, delivered the freshly baked zucchini bread yesterday, and boy, is it good. Nothing like Phyllis's zucchini bread. There's nothing like Phyllis's zucchini bread, peanut butter fudge at Christmas, and the lemon pie that she makes. Nobody does it quite like Phyllis, and I thank her for that. And last night, I did a little freestyling on the zucchini bread, which I'd never done before. I took a piece of the zucchini bread, I cut a piece off, because she gave me a whole loaf, and I put it in the microwave, warmed it up for about 30 seconds, and then I put some whipped cream on the top. And Cool Whip, oh my goodness gracious, call the cops, shut down the house. I was in heaven. That is delicious. I might do that during my little break here from the station today. Does not get any better than that. Again, phone lines are open here, 740-383-9944. And I thank Pastor Whitaker. He brought it's a day of gifts, I guess. Pastor Whitaker brought in a package of Little Debbie pumpkin spice rolls today. So maybe if everybody's a good boy or girl, they'll get a pumpkin spice roll today. We've got, I think, five of them in the package here. Nothing better than Little Debbie, is there? And it's the pumpkin spice time of year. Okay, phone lines are open again. Anything to say about the Miranda McGinnis interview yesterday? Or anything else going on in the world? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Now, Oh, I did want to talk about this. You know, I'm thinking about that zucchini bread now. Man, I should have brought some of that here. We do have a microwave here. Could have brought the zucchini bread and the Cool Whip. Oh, the other night we did a taping here at the studio with Carrington and Weasel Boy, formerly of WNCI. Weasel Boy is always a lot of fun. I like him. He's a good guy. And she went into the refrigerator for something. And I don't know how the refrigerator got unplugged. I'm not really sure. And I'm not even really sure how long it's been unplugged, because I really don't go get anything from the refrigerator. But she opened up that refrigerator, and I don't think there's anything in there, to be honest. I haven't looked. I didn't put anything in there, so I'm not worrying about it. But I think the fact that it was unplugged and somebody did not take everything out of it, I don't know. Honestly, I don't know that there's anything in there. I should go look. I mean, the refrigerator's here. I don't know what's in there. But why somebody would unplug a refrigerator without emptying it, I'm not really sure. If they had put things in there, I don't know what happened there, but that's the way it is, as Walter Cronkite would say, and that's the way it was. I think Carrington was a little traumatized, because I think she expected a light to come on and cool air to be coming out of the refrigerator, and clearly that did not happen. And there was no water in there, which I think is what she was looking for. I wanted to talk a little bit about the River Valley tax levy coming up here, because I think we're going to have somebody on in the next few weeks to discuss this. Now, again, any candidate who wants to come on, anybody who wants to talk about anything, just let me know. We'll get you on. But somebody contacted me this morning and said that there was talk, I think at a meeting last night, was my understanding, that somebody wanted to come on and explain what this whole River Valley levy is all about. And I'm glad that the person reached out to this person to do that, because we want to shake the rugs out before November, because we're going to have big election coverage here on this station, starting at 7:15 election night. If you're paying attention to any other election coverage that night, you're really missing the boat, because we have got a lineup that night that is... I don't even want to mention the names right now. It's the biggest night of election coverage, and I am not rolling in here at 10:23, supposed to be here at 8:15 this morning. Let's introduce Matt Morgan to the... Pastor Craig was... Scott, why are you flying solo this morning? Matt, I didn't tell everybody what you told me. Where you been?
So, when I got up this morning, I was like, man, it's pretty bright outside. So I went to check the time, and I was like, huh. My phone's not in my pocket. It wasn't on the couch. It wasn't on the floor. I looked under the couch cushions because I fell asleep on the couch last night. Wasn't there. So I had to look for my phone. Apparently it somehow ended up underneath this rocking chair that we have in the corner. So that's where it was.
So the alarm did not go off because the phone was not near your head.
I mean, it probably went off. I probably just didn't hear it because it was, like, across the room.
Didn't you tell me that you had gotten an actual alarm clock that you had to get out of bed to shut off?
That's in my room, though.
So you didn't fall asleep in your room last night?
No, I slept on the couch.
So this is not a fail-safe, this alarm in the room?
Well, if I sleep in my room, it works, but I fell asleep on the couch.
See, I was so confused because yesterday you were here early.
Yeah, like, when I woke up, I was like, man, I don't know what time it is, but I'm definitely late. It looks too bright outside. So yeah, I started looking for my phone, and I was like, I don't even know where my phone's at.
Daylight in October is a bad sign. So what did you do last night, I guess, is the question. How did you end up with the phone under the rocking chair and falling asleep on the couch? And
I'm not sure. I know I move around a lot in my sleep. That's probably how the phone ended up underneath the rocking chair, but I went to bed at, like, 1, which is pretty, like, good for me.
Well, did you take a nap yesterday after leaving here? Well, that's probably why you went to bed at 1, because you were here at 8 yesterday.
Yeah.
Now, the conversation this morning, what we ended up filling the first hour with, and we were pretty full on calls this morning. I think we got about 5, and people did talk. And again, phone lines are still open on this subject, 740-383-9944. What did you make? I haven't had a chance really to talk to you except for maybe 3 minutes as we were walking to our cars yesterday. Miranda McGinnis, first appearance after 2 years on the program, comes in on a very interesting day, the day that the mayor and 2 city council people asked for a resignation. You follow city politics pretty heavy since you've been here. What'd you make of it?
I think they don't give Miranda enough credit. It seems to me that they've kind of just drug her through the mud. And I think that they want it all done by the snap of a finger, but she was still reconciling books from, like, 2020. So...
Do you think that her appearance here did her good or bad yesterday?
I'd say it did good.
Did you understand a lot more... Aside, if you would have just read the paper without the interview yesterday, would you have gotten a different impression of what the situation is?
I think so, yeah.
Do you think the paper is favoring her at all?
No. I'd almost say it's the opposite.
Well, we had a conversation this morning about... There were two major stories about her this week in the paper. One was the $200,000 fine that the city has accrued, which they did say, I'll give the newspaper credit on this, they said it wasn't on her watch, it was under Robert Landon's administration. Yeah. But then later on in the article, they went on to say that Councilman Jason Schauber had talked to Deputy Auditor Martin Watts, and that three more fines for $196,000 were likely to come. Miranda said no yesterday. That's not the case. So why did they not ask her about that? If Schauber or Martin told the Marion Star that, before the Star ran that story, why wouldn't they ask her?
I don't know.
Let's go to the bigger problem, the resignation story. Matt, you were here. When did Miranda find out that she had been called on by the mayor and two city council people to resign?
Right before the interview, sitting where I am currently sitting.
Who told her that she had been asked to resign?
I guess technically you, but you just kind of asked her if she heard what had happened, and then she was like, nope, and then she got on and read it.
Right. So, that tells us that the mayor didn't tell her that I'm gonna tell the media that you should resign. The two city councilmen did not do that. Now, again, I'm not faulting them because I don't know how it went down. If the Star called them and said, what do you think of this fine business? And they said, I think she should resign. Okay. I get that they didn't go to her. But if you're going to run a story on the front page of the paper with her picture right there, and you know that the mayor and two city councilmen have asked her to resign and said some pretty harsh things about her in that article, wouldn't you go to her before you ran the story and say, what do you think about this?
I would think so. You should get...
She has to find out here. I don't know. I just think that is... I understand there's only one reporter, and I'm not trying to give him any flack, but... Boy, three people ask you to resign and you don't get a comment from them?
You don't even know about it yet.
No, she didn't know about it. I kind of felt bad for her going into that interview.
Oh, yeah, no. She was reading, and she's just like, that's nice.
And then I had to read that whole spiel off where the mayor says she doesn't know how to do her job, the auditor's office is in trouble, and she's hearing this all for the first time in the last hour.
I think there's a lack of communication between the auditor's office and all the other, I guess, just all the other offices in the city government.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Did she not say that she tried to call Jason Schauber, councilman, and left a message with him, head of the finance committee, and that she had went down to the mayor's office twice and tried to talk to him?
I didn't say it was on her, just there's a lack of communication. Communication.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But did she not say that she tried to communicate it to them?
It seems that they didn't want to or didn't try to communicate it with her.
So this whole idea that she is locking herself up in her office or something, I don't know that that's the case.
She even rationalized that as, here recently, she's been, and I quote, going to sit in her hole and, reconcile the books.
That's so now, you were more harsh toward the auditor last week when we had the conversation, when the mayor said he'd lost confidence in her. You were not really coming down on her side that day. Now hearing her side, what do you think?
They just don't... Like, it doesn't seem that they... They just ripped on her in the news, and when I, it just, she's doing, they're trying to, I think it sounds like that she doesn't do anything. That's what it sounds like in the newspaper and things like that. She doesn't do anything, and she's just gathering fines and doing all this. But then she gets here, and she's like, no, yeah, we're trying to reconcile the books using this app that we have to go back all the way to 2009 to reconcile the books so we can make it easier to keep the city's finances. And I was like, man. So that's what they've been working on.
Well, again, if anybody has an opinion, give us a buzz. That's pretty well what happened here yesterday. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Now, she did say she's not resigning. So they can call on her to resign all they want.
She
ain't going.
Yeah.
Do you think she's well within her right to stay in that office?
She was put there.
Do you think they'll try to remove her? Because they could do that.
Maybe. I mean, I feel like that's a little much.
Who are they going to put in there, would be my question, if they remove her?
Nobody ran against her, so it seems it's looking like if they removed her, nobody would be there to take over the office.
What do you think is the best result here? What can happen? We've got a $200,000 fine from the IRS. Here we are.
I think best case scenario, Miranda gets it all worked out, and we're good. And I think worst case scenario is we do end up getting more fines, and she does end up getting removed.
Well, but do you think at this point they're going to try to remove her?
No, not at this point, no.
They just are going to call... You know, that whole thing about... Do you think that means anything when you say you should resign, and you get it on the front page of the paper?
I mean, I think it's more of a, they're trying to go for, like, the shock factor or something along those lines.
I mean, I do think it's a story if the mayor asks you to resign. I mean, I think that's a story. I don't know why, though, they didn't ask her what she thought about that.
My guess is they were asking about the fines.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. We'll find out from the mayor on Tuesday. That's his regular spot. So we got a lot of questions for the mayor coming up on Tuesday morning. Not that he's done anything wrong, but there's a lot of ambiguity in this whole story.
It's certainly complicated.
And again, if you have any questions, give us a buzz, 740-383-9944, and not even necessarily a question, you can give us a comment. We'll be glad to hear from you on anything, 740-383-9944. Now, people who will tune in to the new episodes of the television show this week will find something missing, you, on the episodes. Tell people what happened.
I thought I changed my availability, but apparently I either didn't hit apply or they didn't accept it or something along those lines, because it didn't go through, so I had to resubmit my availability request so I can be available for sure for the taping.
So not that you have quit or were angry or forgot. It just, there was just an issue going on that day.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I got confused. You know, this is social media for you. Because we had talked, and you had said you worked later that night. But you said, I'm going to talk to one of the schedulers about this. And you said, I talked to him, and they said, I didn't put my availability in. But I think maybe it was the way you said Carrington is going to be there at that. I thought you were going to be here at that time, and had worked it out with them, but it worked out okay.
I mean, that's good.
Worst things have happened.
Yeah.
Weasel Boy was here from WNCI.
That's interesting.
It was an interesting show. Yes, those were interesting shows. Not as manic as Ted, but they were interesting. We had a Twinkie that was probably 3 years old, and we also had a fruitcake Mountain Dew from last Christmas. And all I'm going to say is somebody on the show took a bite of the Twinkie and drank some of the Mountain Dew.
You're talking about one of those Mountain Dew that are...
Yes. The old fruitcake Mountain
Dew.
Those
have been sitting there forever.
Oh. The drink by date is April of 2023. Somebody the other night cracked one of these open, drunk it on the show, and took a bite of the Twinkie, which was hard as a rock.
Oh my god.
Oh, I think we have another Twinkie here too, just to prove the point.
That's the Twinkie.
Why?
You missed a show. I'm telling you, you missed a show. Tune that one in. Tune that one in. That's worth the price of admission alone.
I mean, it sounds interesting.
Well, see the things you miss when you're not here. Hey, I'll tell you something interesting. I was asked to be in a music video today, the Chad Clark Deep Hollow Road music video, but it's been canceled due to weather conditions.
That's unfortunate.
But, you know, I think it's high time I'm putting a music video. I think that's right where I belong.
In a music video.
In a music video.
Put the radio guy in the music video.
I don't know how it happened, but yesterday I got the call that, hey, we're doing the video. Would you be able to come down and be a part of it? I like that song.
That's good.
Deep Hollow Road. If I have the CD, I have the CD somewhere. I'd play it for you, but whatever. It's one of those things.
I mean, dude, you mean they're going to reschedule it. You'll be in the video, I assume.
Well, maybe. You know, I might have to postpone now. And like the whole Buckeyes thing. Well, you know, maybe I don't want to be in the video. You know, that sort of thing. Hold out.
Hold out.
Hold out. I'm trying to figure out if Jim Jordan has become Speaker of the House or not. He's going up for a third vote today.
Last I heard, he was still scrambling to get 20 more votes or something along those lines.
Well, it says he's still pursuing the third vote here. Well, I don't know. I guess it has not been taken yet. Or it's being taken right now. It's supposed to happen at 10 a.m.
Oh, it's probably still being taken.
Well, apparently he said he was not going to do it again. He was not going to run for a third time. But he talked to some people last night, and maybe he felt he had the votes now. I don't know. What do you make of this whole mess? This is our representative.
Is he not the one who said that he didn't want the speaker job, and then the speaker job opened up, and then he was like, ooh, speaker job.
I think that was the case, but I don't want to misrepresent the man. I do know that he's already not had the votes twice in this week, Wednesday, Thursday. But, Representative Jim Jordan told reporters at a news conference this morning that he was not ending his bid for speaker and would proceed with a third House vote later in the day. Okay.
Who else is running for speaker?
Just him right now. Oh. But 22 Republicans voted against him. You can't lose 22 votes because I think you can only lose 6 at this point.
Like I said, the last thing I read, I said he was scrambling to get like 20 votes, so.
Well, maybe he did.
He's still trying to get those votes.
I mean, are they just going to keep voting? I mean, we did it Wednesday. He didn't get it. We did it Thursday. He didn't get it. We're doing it Friday.
I mean, nobody else is running against him, though. I don't understand why. If nobody else wants it.
Well, I think other people want it.
Why aren't they trying for
it? I just think they're not calling for a vote.
Why?
Well, because I think Scalise, who wanted it, got out. So here we are.
What do you mean got out?
They said, I don't want that job now. But they don't think he had the votes.
He didn't even try.
Well, look what happens when you do try.
Well, I mean, he's on attempt number 3. If you stop trying, and the only thing that guarantees is you don't get it.
Let's say Jordan gets it today. Again, we don't know if he has or not. Something's going on in Washington right now. But let's say he gets it. Okay. Is it a black mark that it took him three times to get there? I mean, does somebody go, whoa?
I think so. I mean, I think it can't, it's probably not good.
Here's what's confusing to me. Is there nobody, because apparently you don't even have to be in the house. You can be anybody for this job. You can get, anybody can get this job. Is there nobody who can be Speaker of the House? I mean, nobody and I'm talking about Democrats too. Nobody the Republicans and Democrats can agree on to do this job?
I mean, there's got to be somebody.
You would think.
Yeah, you would think.
But apparently not. What about Mary Ellen?
Yeah, put Mary Ellen in the Speaker.
Why doesn't Mary Ellen? Do you think she could get the votes?
I think if she came back and was like, look, man, put me in there and I'll come back to politics.
Well, apparently all you got to do is submit your application.
I'll submit an application.
Well, maybe I could submit an application. You know, anybody can submit an application. Isn't this the most bizarre thing in the world?
That is.
I think it's going to take an outsider at this point. Because the Democrats aren't going to vote for the Republicans. The Republicans who have the majority should be able to elect somebody, but they can't come together. Well,
where's the compromise?
There isn't one here.
There used to be compromise.
Used to be. You said the right word. Used to be. Who would you want to be? Like, maybe a former politician. Or just, I mean, Speaker of the House is just basically a formal position. So, who would be a good Speaker of the House?
I'm not sure. What does the Speaker of the House, like, do?
Well, they gavel in proceedings. I think they're there when the votes are counted. If they are a member of Congress, they cast a vote. They sit, you know, behind the president during the State of the Union.
So that was the Nancy Pelosi job then.
Yeah, the Nancy Pelosi job.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't think she'd get the votes.
Yeah, yeah, probably not. No. I don't think anybody. I mean, I don't know much about Nancy Pelosi, but everybody that I know hates her.
But who? Well, the Democrats didn't hate her.
I mean, yeah.
She got the votes.
I guess.
But who could we get to do this job? I think it's going to have to be a retired person now. Like a retired politician.
I mean, you could just put a different, but like, is it usually Congress that gets the job or just like
Congress? Yeah, it's usually somebody in Congress.
I mean, anybody could do it, I guess. Just get somebody in the government right now to sign for it.
Is there anybody apolitical who would be good for this position?
Apolitical?
Yeah. Really not a political person, but just would be good. People would vote for him. Get it done.
I don't think an apolitical person would want to be the Speaker of the House.
Well, you never know. It's nice to have on your resume.
Speaker of the House.
Speaker of the House. Why not?
I'm not sure.
I don't know that there's anybody at this point. There seems to be some kind of problem.
Yeah, it seems there's a mess over there in D.C. going on right now.
Well, what do you think happened to compromise? You said, where's the compromise? What happened to it?
I'm not sure. They just, at one point, they used to, you know, compromise to make things happen. But, I mean, to be fair, I'm not there. It could be a whole other, like, Miranda McGinnis situation. We could just be hearing the bad things. But it sounds to me like they don't know what they're doing right now.
Hey, Mayor Schertzer will need a job in about 3 months.
Yeah, put Schertzer in the position.
I don't know who. I honestly don't know. Is there anybody nationally who they could all agree on who's not in the House of Representatives? I think that would be historic. That somebody from outside the House of Representatives for the first time would be doing this job.
Who's a congressman that everybody likes?
Well, I don't know that there's one around right now, unfortunately, or I think they would be trying to get them to do the job.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate it got to this place, I guess. I don't know how it got to this place.
All because the old speaker made a deal with the Democrats to not get the government shut down.
Well, that's where it ended. I mean, it started because he wanted to be speaker, and he agreed to some terms that he probably should not have agreed to. But then he probably wouldn't have become speaker in the first place, so there you go.
You win some, you lose some.
Yeah, well, he won the speaker, and then he lost it. Easy come, easy go. But, the question is, if Jordan does get it at this point, how bad does it look that it took three times, or possibly more, to get it?
It'd almost look like, in my opinion, that they put him there because nobody else was running for it. So they were like, well, somebody's got to do it.
Well, if you're a Republican right now in the House of Representatives and you don't want Jordan, but he's the one who keeps calling for the vote, what do you do? Keep voting no?
I mean, I think it almost makes sense if you dislike Jordan that somebody else who dislikes Jordan would like you. So I think you should just start a campaign for the vote of Speaker of the House.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what... At some point, I think the party in power, which in this case happens to be the Republicans, with the slim majority in the House, is going to have to say, somebody's going to have to compromise in that party and say, listen, we don't necessarily like this person, but we got to have a speaker.
I don't know who else would be up for the job.
Well, there's a lot of fear, my understanding, riding on this, which I'm not really sure why. I guess maybe they won't make deals is the idea. But they still have to vote, so I don't really understand that to a great degree on everything. Maybe they won't put it on the floor for a vote. I guess that may be the big fear, is that the speaker would not, even if they did compromise, the Republicans and the Democrats, and even if they had the votes to pass something, that maybe the speaker would not put it on the floor if they didn't like it to be voted on.
I mean, how many times can you run? Can you just keep submitting like an application?
Well, at this point, I guess you can. It's very interesting because he's out by about 20 votes now. And McCarthy only lost by 6. Lost his spot by 6. So you would think that if you were a Republican who wanted this job, that you might try to approach the Democratic Party and say, listen.
Could McCarthy apply again?
He could. He doesn't want to.
I think he should.
Well, I don't think... I think he'd have problems.
He was only outed by 6.
Yeah, but those 6 aren't going to change their mind. So you got to get 6 Democrats to vote in your favor, and he ticked them off when he said they were the ones who were holding up the government. So I don't think it's going to happen. I think he's burned his bridge there.
That's unfortunate.
So what do you do?
I don't know. This is a hard one.
I cannot believe there's not one Republican in the House of Representatives that the Republicans will all get behind. Pastor Craig, you want to come in on this?
Sure.
Because, it's a do we know what the vote yet is that was supposed to happen at 10?
I don't think the vote's happened yet.
Yeah, I was keeping an eye on it over here. It doesn't seem like it's happened. So what is going on? What's your take on this whole thing the last 3 days?
Well, first of all, I'd like to mention a couple things. One, I know this came up weeks ago, or a week or so ago. Would Jim Jordan be the first Ohioan ever to be Speaker of the House if it were him? And the answer to that is no. Ohio's had 2 Speakers of the House.
Speakers of the House. Yeah, who were they?
Some guy named Kiefer in the 1880s and another guy, Longfellow, in the 1920s.
Oh, okay. So it's been a while.
Yeah. Something else I wanted to address. Earlier you said, would it be a black mark on Jim Jordan that it took 3 votes for him to get it? Don't forget, it took Kevin McCarthy 15 rounds of voting for him to get it in.
And I think it was a black mark.
Yeah.
Because we still know that.
Right.
Usually we don't know how many votes it takes to get.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it was for him. I don't know. I think it would have to be 10 or 12 before it would really be a black mark. But I'll tell you right now, there is not a single Republican in the House of Representatives that all the Republicans could agree on.
That's unbelievable to me. Because we're talking over 200 people here.
Right.
Not one?
I don't feel there is one, no.
So what's going to happen? Because he's down more votes as of yesterday than McCarthy. Matter of fact, 3 times as many votes.
Yeah.
McCarthy lost by 6. Jordan lost by 20 yesterday. Do you really think that he found 20 votes last night? Or found the 14 that he needs?
I don't know. I really don't know. You know, look at Kevin McCarthy on his. You know, every time they took a vote, he was down 10 to, you know, between 6 and 10 every time. And then at the, you know, on the 15th vote, he was able to get elected. So I have confidence that I think the vote will finally come together for Jordan.
You think he'll get it?
Yeah, there's going to be some arm twisting and there's going to be some deal making. And, you know, really, people shouldn't be surprised because that's the way Congress has operated forever, arm twisting and deal making. It's just we don't always hear about it like we've, you know, heard about it this time.
Well, speaking of arm twisting and all that, Representative Patrick McHenry has threatened to resign as Speaker pro temp if the GOP colleagues try to advance any legislation without first expanding his powers. So there's another wrench in your problem. But I don't know if Jordan will get through on the 3rd now.
He probably won't. I mean, it may take 6 or 8 or 10 or 15 or 22, you know. But eventually they'll get it worked out. You know, we only have to look back to the last Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, and, you know, she was able to get most of her legislation that she wanted to. She was able to get it through the House when she was Speaker of the House. And believe me, she was well known for her arm twisting and deal making, particularly the arm twisting.
Oh, absolutely.
So, you know, this is something that's always gone on. It's just it's much more. We hear about it much more today because of social media. Let's face it. You know, in the past, you know, you would rely on the newspapers to tell you the story. Well, now with social media, you have members of Congress that will go on social media and say, you know, well, I'm going to resign if, you know, so. I think that's why we're hearing so much about it.
Well, I think why this is such a big deal is because it seems like everybody's doing this in a very public way. I think that's the difference between the Nancy Pelosi situations, which certainly happened in the age of social media, certainly her last round as Speaker of the House, is because I don't think it was done like this. McCarthy, it took many, many votes to get there, but he had to cut a deal. Nancy Pelosi never cut a deal like that to limit her power. And I also think that, or basically give people the sword to put her out, which eventually they did with McCarthy less than a year after he was put in that position. And then you got Jordan here, who right now, basically that's what's happening here. The Speaker pro temp is saying, basically, if you don't give me more power, which is basically saying, I don't trust Jordan, you're not getting my vote till you do.
Yeah, and I don't think it's even maybe necessarily Jordan only that he doesn't trust. There's probably other people there that he doesn't trust. You know, Jordan was not in the group of people that sent McCarthy packing.
Right, but don't you think when the man says, I'm going to resign, that he's saying, you know, on the morning of the vote, the 3rd vote for this man, that probably has more to do with him than it does with what happened in the past.
Yeah, and you know, again, you know, you don't know how
minutes before they're about to take the vote,
and you don't know how much was in. You know, that in itself can be a form of arm twisting, you know, to threaten that you're going to resign, you know, to accomplish what you want to accomplish.
But why would he do that? Why do you think he did that? I mean, he didn't the last two times. He didn't under McCarthy. Why is he saying that I'm going to leave this position if you don't expand my power?
Maybe he just realized an opportunity.
Yeah, I think he's trying to force the issue. I think he's trying to get over this.
Here's what it sounds like to me. And again, this is just a thought. What it sounds like to me is that this guy knows Jordan needs his vote. And he's saying, listen, I don't agree with much of what you have to say, so unless I have near as much power as you do to put a stop to some of the things you believe or might hold up, I'm not staying in this position, which basically means you're not getting my vote and you're not getting the job.
That probably has, yeah, that's probably it.
But to do it publicly, you know, social media or not, moments before the man is about to go up for vote, doesn't really do him any favors.
No, it doesn't. And you know, there again, that's what we've become to is in addition to doing what you want to do to make force an issue, let's go public with it. So.
And why is that happening now? Because and you know, not that it's unheard of for something like that to happen, but why? Who is the leader of the Republican Party? We don't have a Speaker of the House. There's not a Republican president right now. Who is the leader of that party who could get in a room with people and say, listen, it's time to get our act together. Stop this. Stop going public. You're hurting us.
Probably the only person that could do that is the person who's the king of backroom deals, and that's Donald Trump.
Where is he?
Well, he's pretty much stayed out of this, other than the fact that he, you know, came out and endorsed Jim Jordan.
Well,
he's pretty much stayed out of that fray.
But isn't that interesting to some degree that he's endorsed Jordan? Jordan still can't get it, and now we've got people going public like this. The Speaker pro temp saying no.
I don't think getting Donald Trump's endorsement for Speaker of the House really carries much weight in this situation. But I think he could accomplish it if he got people together in a room.
Well, what is this here? Well, more breaking news, as they say, on NBC News, by the way. Judge in New York fraud trial threatens to jail Trump for violating gag order. So there you go. Well, Trump might not be available later on today to go broker this deal.
You could bust.
Holy mackerel.
You could bust the representatives to the jail.
Well, here we go.
We're chartering a bus to the jail.
You know what? Why don't we just call it, we should get an hour of this show on Friday and just call it Unprecedented. Never happened before.
Yeah.
A former president of the United States has just been threatened by a judge to be sent to jail.
Doesn't surprise me.
But, I mean, he could go to jail here.
He won't.
Do you think he'll abide by the gag order now?
No, I don't think he will.
And you think the judge will back off?
Yeah, and by the way, I also neglected to mention we had Speaker of the House John Boehner. John Boehner was from Ohio.
Oh, that is true. You are right about that. John Boehner.
Yeah.
They ran him out of town on a he didn't end very well either. Neither did Paul Ryan, for that matter.
Well,
Neither did Newt Gingrich, for that matter.
I will say this. As a lifelong Republican, and all three of those people that you mentioned were Republicans, and I will say this. Two out of three deserve to be run out of town.
Didn't John Boehner call Jim Jordan a fellow Ohio Republican, an arsonist?
I don't know if he did, but I mean, if you tell me that he did, that wouldn't surprise me at all. I mean, you know, my opinion of John Boehner is not very good, so, you know.
Well, just to catch you up before Pastor Craig's show here on the whole jailing of maybe a former president, what's going on here before the vote happens. The judge presiding over Donald Trump's $250 million civil trial in New York raised the possibility on Friday of putting the former president in prison after Trump failed to comply with a partial gag order requiring him to remove a post trashing the judge's law clerk on social media. The judge in the case said in court on Friday morning that Trump had posted on his social media account an untrue and disparaging post about my clerk, and that he spoke to the former president about the matter. This is a quote: "I ordered him to remove the post immediately, and he said he did take it down." He continued, "Despite the order, last night I learned the offending post was never removed from the website. This is a blatant violation of the gag order. I made it clear that failure to comply will result in serious sanctions." The post, however, remained on Trump's 2024 campaign website for 17 days and was removed late last night after the court emailed him. So I guess he did remove it.
So this shows how much social media has changed our environment, our culture. Because, you know, in the past, you know, what you said or did would have to have been picked up by newspapers, radio, or television. But with social media, anybody can say anything at any time.
Well, and just to follow that, Trump's lawyer said it was just a mistake that it wasn't taken down.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But
you know it shows how much things have changed. Because in the past, without social media, without the internet, when it was newspapers, radio, and TV, it wouldn't matter what you said if nobody picked it up.
You know, this is not about Trump, but isn't it interesting how all people, when you threaten them with prison, will comply a little more with what you want?
Usually people.
I mean,
that'll all of a sudden get you.
I mean, I don't think anybody wants to go to prison.
Yeah. You know, however you feel about this trial, this judge, I think the Trump lawyers realize that I don't think he is playing around.
Right.
I think he would jail him.
I think he would too.
And
yeah.
I think if it hadn't come down, he would have jailed him.
I think so.
So, there you go. And where are we on the vote? I don't think it's happened yet. But, maybe by noon it will.
So she asked him to remove...
The judge is a man, but
oh,
yes.
Oh, sorry.
Yes, no problem.
He asked Trump to remove the post
17 days ago,
and then
Trump said he did. Trump's lawyers said he did. I think he actually talk to Trump in that case. I think.
Yeah, he said. Yeah.
Yeah, and Trump said he would take it down immediately, and he thought it was. And somebody brought it to the judge's attention that it hadn't been taken down. So he said, "If you don't, going to prison."
They didn't even look. They just took him for his word. They just said, "All right, cool, it's down."
What can you say?
That's how this is all working at this point.
Oh, man.
Maybe somebody should just stuff the ballot box in Washington at this point. It doesn't really matter anymore how things get done. Just get it done. Pastor Craig coming up next. Stay tuned.
Notary.us, providing notarization services of any document anywhere in Mid and Central Ohio at homes and businesses. OhioNotary.us, a proud supporter.
In the spirit of Halloween and fall, it's now time for a Halloween poem reading by Charlie Evers, Mary Ann Michaels, Martha Dowse, Mary Ellen Withrow, Scott Spears, Marla Gibbs, Mr. McFeely, Pat Carroll, Bud Collins, Hugh Downs, and Robert Guillaume.